尊敬的各位来宾、女士们、先生们、各位朋友们，大家上午好。Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Tian Wei. Great to be the moderator for this wonderful and very strong panel, as you can see on the stage. Many of you are their friends, and many of them are your friends, I guess. I heard the voice of Quincy Jones in the airport when I came into the city of Seattle. And I saw him also talking about what kind of city Seattle is. He said, it is a city of global gumbo. I just love that, don't we? It is a wonderful place where all the cultures mix. And that's exactly the place where we can always get inspirations from others, and also, as a result, be able to look at our own culture from a very unique perspective. So, that's exactly what I felt when I was preparing for this very interesting panel. I went back to the history of China to learn a little bit more about our topic, which is new alliances on the sub-national level. The word alliance is very interesting. Under what circumstances would people form alliance? How important is the alliance? What can the alliance do? And how long can they last? So with all of these questions, I go back to Sun Zi, one of China's most well-known strategists, dating back more than 2,000 years ago. And here's what he said. He said, we cannot enter into alliance with neighboring princesses, meaning, you know, neighboring countries, until we are acquainted with their designs. We are not fit to lead any army on the march unless we are familiar with the face of that country, of its mountains and rivers, forests, and pitfalls. And we'll never be able to turn nature advantages to account unless we make ourselves being guided by the local guide. And that, I think, is exactly what we are doing here on the stage. To be the local guides for each other and to brainstorm about possibilities for solutions to the challenges that we all face and hopefully move forward and preferably move forward together. So we have all of these wonderful gentlemen and let me have the honor to introduce them. 我会说一部分中文，说一部分英文。首先向大家介绍的是 my great honor to introduce四川省副省长陈文华先生 Vice Governor of Sichuan Province, Mr. 陈文华 Nice to have you. Jay Inslee, who is the Governor of the State of Washington, without further introduction. 华盛顿州州长 Jay Inslee 先生向大家介绍 Ed Murray, Mayor of the City of Seattle. 西雅图市市长 Ed Murray 先生海南省副省长王璐先生 Mr. 王璐 Vice Governor of Hainan Province.Last but certainly not least, 许昌市高级顾问王树山先生 Mr. 王树山 Senior Advisor of Xuchang City from China's central part of Henan Province. Welcome to all of you. So, may I ask all of you with one guiding question, since we're talking about the challenges, I would ask you, Mr. Governor, what would keep you up at night and hard to go to sleep?
Well, recently it's been my one-year-old grandson who doesn't sleep, who likes to get up in the middle of the night. But I would...
With a one-child family, maybe yeah, the others will have the same challenges.
Well, we have more than one child, and none of them have slept through the night. So I would guess what would keep me up is that you made a reference to global gumbo and the need for global gumbo.Of this mixing of intellectual talent to succeed in defeating climate change. And of course, we would call it global chowder, because we like clam chowder here in Washington State.
Both are tasty.
The thing that would keep me up at night is that our generation would fail to succeed in forming these alliances to defeat climate change, because we know that climate change is a unique challenge in human history in that it is...a problem shared by all that requires some participation by all in the most difficult circumstances we've ever had, which is a long-term slow problem that is invisible. So what keeps me up at night is that we would not succeed in the alliances we need to share this step forward. And I'm very appreciative to be on this panel with these leaders because, in my view, having sub-regional local alliances are absolutely imperative in moving the ball forward on climate change. And the reason is the single most challenging subject for leaders is the concern that someone else is not doing their part to solve the problem of climate change. The concern that someone else will be laggards and not participate in this solution. So I'm very happy that we're working here to form those alliances sub-regionally, mayors, governors, so that we can go to our people and say, look, my friends in Guangdong province are working forward for caps on carbon pollution, why can't we? So that's what kept me up, but that's why I'm glad we're having this conference today. Mm.
Is Mr. Governor's words really likely to give you an easier time to go to bed at night?
我们问问海南省的副省长。对，我呢是我太太常给我抱怨说房子的质量不好，啊，一样。那么我想在海南呢，我们因为我分管是在城建，我们看过个电影，就是当北京遇上西雅图。Mm. So also when Hainan met with Seattle, what's our same opinion? 我想我们都是要建造一个 green city。
所以我们想怎么样来这个使海南成为一个理想的居住地方，又是一个好的绿色发展的一个地方，作为一个世界旅游的地方。嗯。那有一个问号，有答案吗？刚才我们的州长说，就是联盟就能解决问题。您觉得能这么简单吗？我们想有目标，答案在不断的搜索，可能有
多种方式来解决这个问题，联盟可能是一种方式，但是我们想技术的也方式，还有呢是社会各界的努力来解决问题也是个方式。嗯，您觉得哪些对海南来说现在是最用得上的？我想一个是什么呢？就是各地的经验，啊，第二个呢，我想最用得上的还是这个社会各界的努力。
就是我们要，就是政府的一只手，还有市场的一只手，能把它结合在一起。嗯，好。我们海南省的王省长说，两手都要硬。Yeah.
Also, we should cut down some of the government's hand, 因为政府的这只手呢太强势了。我们到美国看，很多人都用左手写字。 但中国呢，基本上是右手，政府这只手太强，所以现在我们要放权，把政府不该管的或者政府能下放的都下放，然后让这个左手发挥它对市场的这个调节的这种决定性作用。嗯，
那我改一下，您总给您总结一下，就是左手要灵活，右手还要硬啊。
对，都要有。Two
hands。我们问问四川省的副省长陈文华先生。
您是专门负责环境和气候变化问题的，我想问问刚才两位的烦恼，您有吗？我跟他们的烦恼呢，还是有很多相同的地方，但是我最大的烦恼是什么呢？最大的烦恼是让我们中国人呢能够身体更健康，中国人的
期望寿命呢，人均的期望寿命呢，能够更加的提高。这是我最大的愿望。听出来了，您是来自于四川省。四川呢，给大家介绍一下，是中国的人口大省啊。
对。所以您对您省里面人的这个健康问题和年龄大小最关注，怎么能做到？我们四川呢是一个人口的大省。 有9100多万人口，那么就是说，在这个9100万人当中啊，大概有11%的人口是属于这个60岁以上的人口，但是呢，就是说老年人呢，他的身体状况呢，不是很好，所以呢，这是我最。 担心的一个非常重要的问题，是一个。第二个呢，小孩，小孩呢就是这个十三岁以下的，我们大概啊也有1000多万这个13岁以下的人口。这些小孩如果能够健康的成长，能够呼吸到新鲜的空气，更新鲜的空气，能够吃到更安全的食品，使其他们能够健康的成长，这是我最担心的。我觉得
您这个问题提的可挺大呀。
当然，除了这个担心我们省的人民群众的身体健康，让人民群众啊，这个都能够获得长寿这个之外，我还担心一个问题，就是我们的经济啊，如何更快的发展，能够啊，这个使其我们是吧，生产能够发展，人民群众又有健康。这是我们中国人呐、梦寐以求的最根本或者说最基本的这个梦想。
听出来了，陈省长挺操心的。大多数问题您都在关注，一会儿呢，我们将就其中的一些重点问题再向您进一步请教。
谢谢。
我们问问许昌市的王树山高级顾问啊，许昌呢？和我们海南省不同，和四川省当然也不同，我们一个是说的省，您的是市，那么不知道省长担心的问题是不是我们城市的高级顾问也同样担心？作为中国中部一个省，有很长的历史，这个省的高级顾问每天都在想什么？
我感到主持人提的问题也非常好，就是我作为长期在政府这个在市政及政府工作，我一直在担心这样一个问题啊，就是现在随着这个气候的变暖，整个环境的恶化，现在我感到上呢极端天气，确确实实从历史到现在一天天在日益增多，再就是水的污染、空气的污染，就是。确确实实已经作为挑战摆在了人民面前，作为真心的课题提出来了。那么在这种情况下呢，我感觉想着解决这个问题就得需要呢，确确实实刚才就像前面几个同志几位先生说到的，就是需要大家无论是通过同盟还是构筑这样的这个演讲平台、交流平台，大家来共同研究一些应对的这些挑战的措施。我看这一点拿出一些更多的办法来给全人类来带来更多的安全和福音非常重要。
比如说
那么比如说你像我们河南，我作为中部地区的这么一个城市许昌市，那么这些年来呢，我们按照科学发展观的要求，也就是按照人与自然的和谐、经济与社会发展的相协调发展，按照这些要求，那么我们采取了一系列措施。今日呢，通过生产方式的转变，由过去的粗放型向着质量效益型转变，那么再就是呢，由过去的呢注重这个单纯的追求 GDP 的增长，到现在呢注重这个整个的经济素质的提升，使整个的许昌地区啊，它的生态环境都发生了很大的变化。现在我们许昌呢，在中部地区也是在全国已经获得了，我们现在是中国的优秀旅游城。然后国家卫生城、国家园林城、国家森林城和全国绿化模范城。
谢谢您的介绍。我看出来了啊，这个省长呢可能更多的是关心一些宏观的话题，那么我们到了市长呢，可能更关注的是我们这个地区可以取得什么样具体的成绩。但是呢，我想问问 Murray 市长 Mr. Mayor,Do you also have a lot of rewards and that you can share with us? No, what I want to ask you is really, what do you consider as the biggest challenge? And when you share those challenges with your Chinese colleagues, you think that could help them so that they can go to sleep better at night when they work with you?
Well, I think that we're at a unique point in our history. I think the entire Pacific Rim is growing.In population exponentially, and economically we're growing at a rapid rate as well. So this is a great opportunity, but it's a huge challenge. And what keeps me up at night is that we won't get it right, that we won't actually grow our communities in a way that encourage economic development and protect our environment, and that we won't, as a result of that, deal with issues of health, deal with issues of climate change. So I think we have a lot that we can all learn from each other. And I think particularly cities are the places where you can experiment because it's a smaller level to experiment on. But as we grow our communities, to get that balance between active open space, to keep our water clean, to be sure that we can exchange ideas around how you grow the economy, this is a thing that we do, but we need to take it to the next level. Now, I have another piece of this that keeps me up at night, and I'm very competitive, and Seattle's very competitive. So as we look about how we can share ideas around growth, how we can share ideas around the climate, how we can share ideas around investing in each other's countries and cities, I want folks not just to think in China about San Francisco and Los Angeles or Vancouver, Canada. I want them to think about Seattle. So.
You got a lot of fans in the audience. But why? Because all of you are saying, well, we're not doing enough. People would wonder why we haven't done enough. Why we're having the judgment and the metrics which are not counted in the climate change and environmental degradation would have on our local economy. And why we're not having those metrics for, in a way, the way to measure the performances of local officials. Why in the US and also in China, we're still using the GDP as the driving force when they judge the performance of local officials, including the five of you sitting on the stage. Mr. Murray, since you're from Seattle, from home, therefore you go first.
Well, happy to. I think, again, the challenge is, you know, we need to allow for enough flexibility at the local level so that we can be innovative, so that we can try and address those issues and put those metrics in place.
So you don't have enough freedom and flexibility.
No, I believe we do. And I think the only thing that stands in our way is using our own potential. I think often, globally, what we see is often national governments are very slow to move. And at least in this country, the best way for us to do things is always started with the cities. Many of the programs that are in place in this country started in the 30s in New York, or started in the 20s in Los Angeles, or started in Seattle in the last few decades. So it's allowing that incubator, using your cities as incubators, that you can start to get a handle on these problems and start to move forward. Because cities, not just in this country, but around the world, are not driven by ideology. They're driven about how do you make the streets work? How do you allow for the water system to work?
Right. And Mr. Governor, Mr. Mayor said the city's politics is not driven by ideology. So what he's indicating, it seems that the state politics is driven by ideologies?
No, I was referring to the national politics.
All right. But Mr. Governor.
You know, I think what Ed has said has a lot of truth to it. And his view that we can be more nimble, more active in smaller political units is an accurate one. I actually used to serve in the National Congress, and we had been unable to make progress in our federal government on climate change policy. And I returned, and the people gave me the honor of being governor. And in part, I'm overjoyed by this because it gives us a much greater opportunity for our state to move forward and form sub-regional alliances to move forward, even though our federal government seems to be gridlocked. Mm. And what I would say in answer to your first question, why have we not been successful to date? I think two things are happening that are now allowing us success. Number one, people are beginning to see the problem of climate change with their own eyes. Before, it was a scientific abstract in a scientific journal. Now it's a forest fire that burned down half of Pateras, Washington, 130 miles east from here. It's floods that have washed out this friends of mine house in the Methow Valley. It's oysters that we can't grow on Hood River because of Hood Canal because of ocean acidification. So people are now starting to internalize this, see this with their own eyes. And secondly, We are having success in these sub-regional activities, not just internationally, but nationally. The three states in the western United States, California, Oregon, and Washington, and the western province of Canada, British Columbia, we are all working together to form what will be an economy that's the seventh largest economy in the world, to come up with mutual efforts against climate change. And that is an active effort that's going on right now. So I think we are at a tipping point in our ability to move forward. And as we become more appropriately alarmed at what is happening with the melting of Greenland and the forest fires, we ought to be more optimistic when we see these things happening. So I think my mayor's got something on the ball, but our government, Washington's just as good as Seattle, I'll tell you that.
All right, okay, there we go. And 我现在要问问我们中国的几位。 来自于不同地方的领导啊，王省长，海南呢很美啊，我们博鳌的每年的年会都在海南举行，大家都印象深刻。说到海南的环境保护问题和气候变化问题，我想更多的从一个全中国的角度来问您，因为中国人呢现在对环保太关注了。 我们每天都在看今天的空气怎么样，每天PM2.5，每天大家早上第一件事先看 PM2.5今天怎么样。与此同时呢，我们也看到在中国会出现一些公共事件，当大家觉得他们的期待不能够被满足的时候，当大家需要一个更加好的环境的时候，我们就会有这样的公共事件产生。请问作为地方领导， 这样的民众的关注程度，这样的浓度，对你来说意味着什么？对你推动相关的政策是有所帮助呢，还是说可能更多要着重于眼前，而没有机会着重于长远？这个首先是一种责任和激励啊。我知道您会这么讲。
我也经常为指标而操心，因为什么呢？我们的所有市县每年都要考核，我们考核它什么？我们政府呢，实际上工作是四句话，我们叫稳增长、调结构、这个促改革、惠民生，那么我们对不同的市县怎么来用什么指标来激励它？我也很烦恼。我们的统计局长给了我七八十个指标，没法去考核。 那么我想最核心的一方面，你要使这个经济一定的增长，增长呢跟就业是相关的，啊，那么这有一个指标。第二个呢，就是我们现在讲政府在改革，在结构调整。那么海南呢，是要作为中国最适合居住的地方，啊，我们作为一个以旅游业为龙头的现代服务业发展这么一个特色的地方，那么我们要这样一个结构。 就跟西雅图一样，你能把微软把Amazon吸引在这里，为什么呢？有一个非常好的环境，有一个创业的机会，创新的一个机会。那么还有一个就是你刚才讲的环境问题，老百姓首先想的是呼吸，如果呼吸都不行了，那么生活有问题。还有一个喝的水，对吧？当然还有一个绿地。我到这个西雅图，我昨天问了市长，我说为什么你的水这么干净？啊，我们也在想怎么把水变得干净。
我们有指标，市长怎么回答您的当时？
市长他也没说清楚，糟了，可能是我没听清楚啊。但是我想他说的这个，好，这就是联盟要做的一个原因之一，我们要把话讲清楚了，可以啊。来，我们比如说我们有森林覆盖率，这有指标，我们比如说对这个空气的这个 PM2.5等等控制方面，我们也有指标，我们采取的措施。 另外还有水，我们对水质的要求也有指标，所以它有一系列的生态指标，包括我们的规划。我们也在想，比如说公园系统、这个水系、这个森林系统等等这方面，是吧？在规划里面很重要一条强调，就是不建设规划，就是哪些方面是我们必须这个保护的留下来的东西，比如说它的雪山，我们的湿地。但是省长先生，您知道。 我了解您在您的省里面主要是做环境保护啊，气候变化呀等等相关的工作。
但是呢，我们还省里有其他的领导，他们掌管的呢是其他不同的经济方面。我就想请教您了，在平时的工作当中，大家怎么平衡各个方面的工作？哪些方面放在最前面？哪些方面可以暂时放一下？大家之间的工作如何平衡它的利益，让这个地区能有一个很平衡的发展？
我们讲呢，这个
大这个不仅是在我们中国的地方政府啊，Governor Inslee is also listening very carefully right now。
这个首先是讲一种统筹协调，比如说在省级政府或者市级政府，它有个大的目标，这个目标呢是所有的 Vice Governor Governor 都要考虑这个目标的，所以大家在这个大目标上有个共同的共识。那么至于说是多给环境一点，还是多给这个就业一点，还是多给哪里一点，那么这个呢需要进一步的沟通协调。那么这个协调呢，我们也要考虑多种方面，也要考虑社会的需求、民众的要求。我们可以讲这么几个思路啊，一个是叫底线思维，一个底线啊，第二个呢我们在一个区间调控，那么第三个呢就是我们要长短结合，就是也要考虑长远的，也要考虑现在的啊。
Can you tell every Chinese is a strategist? Including the provincial governor, of course. 我再问一下我们来自于四川的陈省长，说到中国的地方政府啊，有几件事儿大家最关注。一，怎么跟中央政府在税收上面分账？二，地方债真的那么厉害吗？地方的经济怎么办？虽然这两个问题看上去和我们今天讨论的气候变化、环保不是完全划等号的，但是呢，要知道这些问题只有它很好的解决，才能真正的支持我们相关的气候变化和环境保护的事业。所以我想请您给我们答疑释惑一下，然后讲一讲在您的四川省有关气候变化方面都做了一些哪样的努力。
好，
有请。
好，这个说到这个分钱的问题啊，大家都是很激动的一个问题。
各位眼睛都亮起来了。
这个尤其是我们这个地方啊，跟中央这个如何很好的把这个财政这个资金呢、啊，把它划分好，这确实是一个大问题，是个难题。从我们四川来看的话，应该说吧，我们上交给中央的和中央给我们的基本上是持平的，或者说中央还多给了我们一点点，但是呢，中央虽然说多给我们四川一点点的话，也是我们给全国，做出了巨大的贡献，因为我们四川呢地处这个中国的西部，处于这个中国两条母亲河黄河和长江的上游，所以我们在生态文明建设方面，在环境保护方面，我们有这个责任，使下游地区、中游地区啊有一个好的水环境，所以我们呢，做出了这么多贡献，所以呢，中央也给我们适当的补贴一点，我想这是也是，应该说是，这个合理的，我觉得是合理的哈。
王省长在认真的听。
你那多了，别的地方就会少一点。
刚才你也说了，就是说我们中央资金的使用，它也是要考虑各个方面的因素，既要考虑经济发展，又要考虑教育，又要考虑这个就业，又要考虑这个环境保护。因为我，应该说中央多给我们一点钱，是为了整个国家的环境安全的考虑。我想这也是。镇上的你别嫉妒啊，这是一个。第二个呢，我想说一下就是这个地方债的问题。地方债的问题呢，总体上我们四川的地方债呢是处于可控的状态，这是一个情况啊，一个基本的情况。另外呢，因为四川呢它是一个比较大的省，它有21个市州，183个县市区，有9100万人口。所以呢， 地方债的问题呢，它有的地区呢，可能要严重一点，欠债要多一点；有的地方呢要好一点。比如说我们的这个成都地区，它的财政收入啊，GDP 啊，它就能够，这个好一点，好一点。但是有的其他地区呢，比如说自贡市啊这种地方呢，它的地方债呢，这负担呢就要重一点。
特别是一些转型的城市。
对对对，就是刚才你说的对，转型的。你比如说自贡市，它是一个老的工业城市，它现在属于资源枯竭型城市。那么在这种情况下，它需要转型，那么它的债务呢，这个负担呢就要重一些。但是从四川来说呢，总体上是可控的一个状态。这是一个问题。另外一个问题呢，就是我们四川呢，刚才我已经说了，是吧，处于长江和黄河的上游，所以呢我们有为国家建立长江和黄河上游的生态屏障的这样一个职责。我们在环境保护方面呢，这个做了这么一些工作。一个呢就是我们在这个政策法规方面呢，我们是进一步对这个完善了这个政策法规。比如说我们四川省就制定了建立生态省的这个做出了建立生态省的这个决定。我们也制定了这个保护饮用水水源地的这个条例，做出了这个固体废物垃圾处理的这个条例。还有呢，我们也做出了这个治理这个机动车排气污染的决定。我们在这个法规上啊做了很多的工作。我们想呢，就是说搞好环境保护，我们也要依法办事。所以呢，我们首先在法规上、政策上进行了规定。另外呢，就是这个我们在这个环境保护的能力建设上，我们也是进一步在加强。比如说我举个例子哈，我们在体制上的话，我们把原来的环境保护局都升格为了环境保护厅，作为政府的这个组成部门。我们的21个市州和183个县都建立了环境保护的专门的部门，环境保护部、环境保护局，这个部门叫局。然后呢，我们在人员的编制上，我们以前呢，全省的这个专业的行政的这个环境保护的编制人员只有5000多人，那么现在我们已经增加到了9000多人。在这个工作方面呢，我们全省呢，我们配备了许许多多的监测点，比如说我们的监测车，我们就机动的这种监测车就配了这个260多辆。我们建立了这个64个监测的中心，包括水的、气的等等。
你看啊，我们的省长两位都是对自己的省份相关的工作非常的熟悉，这个数字啊说起来就像统计局的领导一样啊。许先生、王先生，这个您觉得在法律方面制定新的法律和规则，在具体的行政改革方面给予环保部门以一定新的这样一个行政的基础，能够解决问题吗？您这个花园城市听起来一派和谐，在这样的大的环境下，您方做了一些有关方面的什么努力？
好，
真正有法能够落实吗？
啊，应该说是这些年来啊，包括我们河南许昌在内的全国各个地区，我认为应该说是在依法行政和通过法律的手段、行政的手段、政策的手段来加强整个的生态建设和环境治理方面做出了很大的努力。而且呢，这些法律法规包括行政上的一些规则规定都在得到认真的落实。你比如我们许昌，一个是就是围绕着环保这一方面，围绕生态治理这一方面，首先是我们在也是在转型升级调结构， 就是现在许昌市我们所上的一切项目必须是科技含量高，产业带动能力强，龙头带动能力强，再有充分体现生态和环保，产品附加值高的，像那种高污染高能耗的这种项目现在一律全都卡住了，我们一定提升这个门槛，这对生态环保建设是至关重要的。那么第二点呢，就是加强了依法加强了碘源和面源的污染治理，也就是说为了保证这一河清水，是吧，我们呢从源头上一直到整个两岸的所有的这些带有碘源的这些厂矿企业要进行依法性的治理，那就是该关的关，该停的停，而且是发现偷放的不达标准偷放偷排的我们还要严重的处罚。那么同时呢，这是一个，再就是呢，我们对面源方面，你比如现在通过使用一些有机肥料，农村啊使用有机肥料为了躲高残，面源污染很厉害，那么这几年来我们就注重了有机肥料的使用，对一些无机肥料就严格控制了，那么从面源上呢就控制污染，这样对水质就有了可靠的保证。所以说在这方面我们呢应该说是都在依法都在努力做着。再另外呢，再就是呢，随着刚才都说了，就随着现在呢整个的经济的发展，现在不是在注重 GDP 的增长，而是更注重质量效率提升。 GDP 的增长为什么呢？就前几年啊我们考核指标也是有这个问题，因为它和我们的干部的政绩是挂钩，提升是挂钩的，所以说呢这样的对 GDP 的指标都很重视。 GDP 增长快的带来什么？牺牲生态和环境为代价的，代价很昂贵，所以这样呢就带来了很多的污染问题，环境的恶化问题。现在都不是了，现在我们把更多的考核指标是放在了提升经济的质量的效益上，说在这一方面呢应该说是这个考核指标现在都发生变化了。那么对 GDP 现在可以这么说，是不像过去那么注重了，更注重的是我们怎么提升质量，怎么提升经济的效益，怎么提升产业的升级。
I hope that is the case. Mayor Murray, Seattle at the very beginning was a logging city. And of course, it's so different now. So it makes people wonder, when you have the five of you sitting on the stage, our Chinese friends are still strugglingwith the very initial stage, which your city and your state already witnessed decades ago. What is the foundation of this alliance? Because you're so different in terms of timing, in terms of development stage, in terms of the challenges you're facing. Where does this alliance come from?
The alliance between us and cities and states in China, yes.So it comes from a common realization, and I think the governor pointed this out in the beginning, that we face a huge challenge in climate change. And if we don't get some of the things that we just heard about right, then the governor's grandchild and all of our children will live in a much, much, much worse place.
What can you get the national government do? Can you do anything? Yeah. Or at least can you get the governor do anything?
whatever the governor wants, we'll do. But, I think actually the question around water was a good one. And one of the reasons I didn't give him a direct answer is I didn't want to tell our secret. A century and a half ago, this city decided to buy the most pristine sources of water in the mountains, hundreds of miles away.And then in the 1960s, this city engaged in an effort to clean up the lakes in the city and work with businesses and residents to stop the runoff into our water. And right now, led by the state, cities around Puget Sound are involved in an effort to rescue and continue to clean up Puget Sound. And I think through all that, there are two themes. One is vision and leadership, and the other is collaboration. We do that locally here, and that's what's made the difference. Vision and leadership means taking risks. And we've been able to do that locally throughout the history of this state. It's kind of in our cultural DNA, and it's the only way that we will be able to change these issues globally. If we are willing to take risks because of the vision we have for the future, and if we're willing to work collaboratively. And working collaboratively means a willingness to share information and a willingness on everyone's part to change behaviors that maybe we don't want to change. And that's how we're going to get it in front of the issue of climate change. And for those of us from cities, build cities that are great places for people to play as well as work. Mm. Places where, that are healthy and not just places that produce jobs.
王省长。
Murray先生说，就是您听明白了，他的意思就是说，150年前我们就有领导力了，就解决问题。他虽然两点，就是一个是天生丽质，对吧？第二个呢，就是平时注意经常打扫，搞干净。当然，领导力很重要，就是包括还是要
Natural beauty plus working every day to clean it up.
Yeah.是这样吗？ Well, yeah, I mean, obviously...
市长您说过了，州长说什么就是什么。
那就州长说。 Mr. Governor.
中国也这样。
They all want you to make sure that you have a very clear attitude.
Well,
what is that attitude?
I think this is the profound international question of the next century, and that is what...
Why don't we begin from now? So where does the alliance come
today,
from?
Today, here's where the alliance comes from today. It is a recognition of both the fully developed companies and the developing countries in their respective individual responsibilities. And I would suggest they are this. We have twin challenges. In my nation, in my state, sometimes it is a challenge to ask people to understand that we cannot expect our neighbors, their global neighbors, in China to limit themselves to their exact same economic conditions and the exact same amount of electricity they use, which is probably less than half of the per capita amount of electricity usage by people in the state of Washington. We in Washington cannot expect people in Hainan to lock themselves in to an electrical usage that's half what we have. That's just not fair. So we in Washington need to understand that. At the same time, people in Hainan and Sichuan and Guangdong province need to understand that even though they are going to spend years or decades sort of catching up with the economic performance of Washington State and the United States, we still cannot allow them to take no meaningful investments to reduce the per capita emissions of carbon emissions, because if we do, then all of our grandchildren's futures will be substantially damaged. So what I would say is that our challenge is to get both all of our peoples to understand those respective value systems that impose individualized responsibilities on all of us that differ but have a common result, which is we're going to give our grandkids a shot. That's what I'd say our strategy needs to be. Mm.
But you've all been describing this grand strategy. As governor, you also need to have enough jobs in the state.
Well, we don't look
so
at...
So how is that going to complement one another?
We believe jobs and clean energy are two horses in the same team going in the same direction. Okay. We do not believe these compete. We believe they're allied. And the reason is we are growing jobs faster in the clean energy, non-carbon emitting industries, twice as fast, than any other sector of our economy in the United States today. So if you want to grow jobs in your community, in our country right now, the fastest horse is the clean energy one. Solar power, wind power, energy efficiency, lithium-ion batteries, offshore wind. These are the fastest growing industries in our state and country. And so we look at this as actually a tremendous business opportunity. And we want to provide China and the rest of the world these technologies and products, and look for them to provide some to us. So we don't. I don't look at this as balance. People say we need to balance the economy and the environment. I look at them differently. We need both to move together, and they'll do so if we use our heads.
Can I add something here? So you know, Seattle's growing. It's the fastest growing city in America. Jobs are increasing in this city at a rapid rate. Yet we have the cleanest energy source. We have a 97% carbon neutral source of energy. We use and recycle less garbage today than we did just 10 years ago. So it's not an either-or situation. The population grows, jobs are growing, the air is actually getting better, the garbage issue is getting better, and our sources of energy are getting cleaner.
Right.
So I don't think it's jobs versus the environment. I actually think jobs come where the environment is clean.
陈省长，听出来了吗？ 我们的美方的两个好朋友啊， 他们不仅想介绍经验， 还想卖产品。
我明白了。
从这个角度来说， 您的省份和比如说我们的华盛顿州， 或者是说中国和美国之间， 是合作呢？ 还是竞争关系？
我觉得肯定应该是合作的关系， 尤其是我们四川省呢， 跟华州之间已经有了30多年的友成的这个关系， 所以我觉得呢， 和为贵， 这是非常重要的一点。 另外呢，就是我觉得州长先生和市长先生他们的担忧啊， 担心呢，我觉得是可以理解的， 他主要是吧， 也是很自然的， 就是说， 因为这个地球，人类啊，只有一个地球，保护好这个地球，是我们全人类的共同的责任。但是呢，就是说，我们现在呢，就是从中国的情况来看，从四川的情况来看呢，我们是尽了我们最大的努力，来保护好环境的工作。刚才我已经讲了，但是呢，它有一个过程。 是吧？而且还需要很多的方面的这个内容，要搞好环境保护的话，它有许多内容要组合起来，比如说你的技术，是吧？你环境保护的技术如何？还比如说你的资金，是吧？是不是很有势力来做这个事情？那么现在呢，就是说，我们从我们四川省的情况来看的话，我觉得哈，就是说我们刚才我已经说了。 我最担忧的是我们人民群众的健康，当然环境差了，是吧？有了污染，那人民群众肯定不能健康，是吧？但是就是说，我们必须是要搞好一个很好的一个结合点，如何在发展中又保护好环境，在保护环境当中又来搞好我们的这个发展，是吧？尤其是这个经济的发展，因此呢，我觉得呢，这个我们。 是吧？我们的从我个人的观点哈，就是说我们既需要绿水青山，是吧？像西雅图一样美丽，但是同时呢，我们也需要经济的发展，我们也要金山银山，使其我们人民群众呢有更好的物质生活条件。所以我觉得这两方面呢都是不可偏废的。
您又回到哲学家范儿了。我想请教我们海南省王省长。 您觉得这个哲学到底在哪里？我们到底落脚在哪儿？中美之间，海南省和华盛顿州，一个在中国最南方，几乎啊，一个在美国几乎最北方。
是。
这是一种什么样的一种？尤其在气候变化和环境保护方面，什么样的关系？
我想这应该是一种多样性。刚才陈省长呢说跟华州建立了友好关系，我前天跟州长讲，我说我们两个最应该。 建设建立友好关系。
哎呦，
当海南遇上华盛顿，遇上西雅图，对。那么，实际上什么呢？我们在可以合作，但是也有竞争。你比如说，刚才州长也讲了，这个市长也讲，就是他的很多长远的规划，一些长远的战略考虑，啊，这个值得我们学习。那么，中国在政府这个管理能力方面，这个下面也有很多值得，特别是应急管理方面。 我觉得我们也有很多值得美国学习的地方，当然，这个我到微软去看了一下，跟波音，我们就看到传统产业和现代产业的不同，对吧？现代产业它可以一个非常好的环境，在这里生活工作，能创造更多的财富，是一个创新的城市。那么我们在转产，现在也是在把这个 GDP 清起来，对吧？我们也要发展第三产业，所以我想，这个环境。 刚才陈总讲了，不仅是人民的身体健康，实际上对我们调整结构、这个调整生活方式、调整发展方式，都是有利的。
说到您和四川省和海南省都希望和华盛顿州建立一个非常良好的关系，和我们西雅图市建立良好的关系，我们美方的嘉宾呢都非常开心。 我呢想跟大家分享一个数字。I want to share some numbers with you. While doing research for this panel, I found that there are already 38 pairs of sister provinces and states between China and the United States, 176 pairs of sister cities between China and the United States. And therefore, my point is, there's actually a lot of competition. If you want to establish any kind of cooperative relations with the other party, are you ready for the competition? I'll leave Mr. Governor from Hainan a little bit later. I want to go to Mr. Murray first. It seems that you're all eager to answer that question.
Well, I think that the, actually, I think it's not about competition. I actually think it's about collaboration. This, China is a big
country. You all say so, but when it comes to reality?
But I actually believe that this is true. First of all, China is a large country, and the United States is a large country. There's many, many, many parts of our country in this state that don't have those connections with China. There are many ways that the city of Seattle is only beginning to connect with China. We can grow that so much more. Mm. And it's, you know, this is a theme throughout America right now, which is we see this in the IT sector. It's by sharing knowledge, it's by collaborating that people are moving forward. So I can't emphasize that point enough. There's actually a book written by the New York City Police Commissioner. It's called Collaborate or Perish. If we don't work together and build
that
those...
That black and white?
Yeah, that black and white. We're naturally competitive. We don't have to worry about that. What we have to worry about is building those collaborative relationships, and there's a lot of room to build those relationships.
All right. Mr. Wang, Wang先生. 请您就这个我们相关的 对，我有两位王先生啊， 对，我们先请许昌市的高级顾问王先生 先讲一讲您对他如何回应，您觉得我们现在要跟美国，比如说和华盛顿州或者和西雅图市建立这样的一种友好的关系、合作的关系，是不是在国内我们也面对着很多这样的竞争？我们怎么能够胜出？哦，那是的，刚才呢，这个，然后我们请王省长讲一讲。
刚才呢，我已经和我们这个西雅图的市长已经进行了接触，我感到我们许昌市啊，和我们西雅图市啊。 搞这种合作就很有意义，而且有天然的相似，因为啥呢？西雅图的是一个非常，对，您拉票只能30秒钟啊，30秒钟拉票。它是一个非常美丽城市，许昌一个是一个非常文明的生态城市，所以说我们呢很有这个印象，我们更多的呢还是要学习西雅图，学习西雅图。好的，来，王省长。实际上我们要转变一个观念，并不是一对一的结合。
只能跟一个人结婚是吧？这是一个，但是可以多个人谈恋爱，就是我们可以朋友可以多一点，所以说我们这种合作交流啊是可以多一点的。虽然最后华盛顿是跟四川结了友城，但是我们还是可以成为朋友，可以多合作交流。
可以有很多 soulmates 是可以的啊。
我们四川跟华盛顿这个是30多年的恋爱关系了，这个牢不可破，牢不可破。对对对，好，我看你们台上已经开始各种握手。华盛顿比较喜欢喜新厌旧。
Mr. Governor, one certain seconds for your.
I will say, in the Washington State Governor's mansion, it is one husband, one wife.
Oh, okay. But when it comes to partnership with others.
But look, I don't think these are...
30 seconds only.
Competition and collaboration are both important. We need to compete to find the best way, most efficient way to make a solar panel. Mm. And all of us have a way to be involved in that whole supply chain.
Right.
You can collaborate through the supply chain so the entire product becomes efficient. That's the future. We take Japanese carbon fiber material today, we take it to Moses Lake, Washington, we spin it in fabric so it's a more fabric, and we send it to Germany to make BMW electric cars. That's both collaboration and cooperation.
Just like Quincy Jones said.
Thank you for honoring a Washington citizen.
Okay, we got a lot of energy, as you can see. A lot of frankness also among the five panelists going on here. But I want to leave some time for our wonderful audience because many of them are instrumental figures in promoting this cooperation that many of you have illustrated on the stage. 所以我们还有多少时间能给我们的底下嘉宾提问哈？来，我们先开始吧。If anyone have a question, have doubts about their answers, you want to counter-argue them, make sure you're going to do that within 30 seconds because the others also want to ask. There's a gentleman over there who's really eager to talk. Yes, go ahead. Well, introduce yourself very briefly and one question. Do not do a speech. Thank you.
30 seconds. Okay. Thank you for the opportunity to ask a question. I think we have a lot of hot questions today and 30 seconds. So I'll be quick. So we have witnessed a lot of change.
And you're
from? Oh, this is Dao Mingli from China, University of Washington, Lenny's House of Office, and okay. Mayor Murray's intern.
Right.
We have witnessed a... Hello, sir. We have witnessed a lot of political climate change in China for the past year. Under the new leadership, China has a more visible resolution towards anti-corruption and the rule of law. So my question is, how would this change of political climate or anti-corruption movement or a little bit turbulence influence the US-China relationship in terms of cooperation and trade in city and province level in the future or currently?
Are you writing a dissertation on this? It seems like a big topic. Which one would you like to address to?
Well, to my previous employer, Mayor Murray first.
Okay.
Thank you.
So it was a long, long question, so I'll try my best.
Please sit.
First of all, it's good to see you. As China changes, it provides opportunities, I believe. I mean, the short answer is it provides opportunities for us to grow closer. China opens up to the United States and other countries, it allows for growth on a whole series of levels, academically, culturally, as well as financially. So that's my 30-second answer.
All right, thank you. There's another question.
Thank you.
And by the way, you didn't, together with your panelists, solve all the problems in the previous panel.
Well, for those of you...
And it has to take all these five gentlemen to work even harder.
Well, we're gonna attack those on the boat cruise this afternoon.
Okay. So your question is...
I'm Dennis Bracey, and let me ask, we've seen great signs of collaboration. We have British Columbia, Washington, Oregon, California, and a climate and energy initiative. Is there a role to create a Chinese counterpart side of that, so we really have provinces and cities and an active program, not just good wishes?
Wow, that's also an interesting topic. So you want to address that question too?
Oh, everyone.
Wow. Okay, maybe we have the governor from Hainan.
实际上我们合作都有，我们跟四川也有合作，对吧？包括在旅游方面。 在其他方面交流的合作，是吧？环境治理各方面经验交流，包括四川的这个地震后，是吧？咱们各个全国各省的支持的合作都有。我想这个合作什么呢？就是关键是你什么需求，就是你在哪方面我们有需求，他也有需求，我们有共同的理念，这方面就可以交流合作。
Governor Inslee, you want to also address that?
Well, we would certainly welcome that, but we're not waiting for it. We are happy, and we're now engaging in discussions with individual provinces. And look, we've all got to be open for business, for collaboration right now. So I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Short and clear. This gentleman, please.
My name is Mark Wen, Washington State, China, Chamber of Commerce. First, I want to thank to Governor Inslee and your trade mission to China last November, and thank you for inviting the Boao to Seattle. And my question is to Mayor Murray, that Inslee, Governor, already lead a delegation to China and involve a lot of investment from China. And do you have a plan to have a trade mission go to China?
Yes, actually, we committed that next year we would visit China. Quite honestly, the city of Seattle is behind the state in developing its own capacity to reach out and build relationships with China. When I look at Mayor Lee in San Francisco, and I look at the very aggressive program San Francisco has in China, and the fact that the mayor of San Francisco is in China every year, sometimes several times a year, Seattle's got a lot of catching up to do, and I hope to lead that effort. Mm.
When you said that, Mr. Mayor, all the other three Chinese gentlemen, they're all years when they are expecting, which city, which province you're likely to visit. Just by the way, also, 80% of China direct investment into the United States now are in the states, in southern part of the United States. So I guess both the state of Washington and the city of Seattle has a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And a lot of favorite conditions to create for our Chinese guests, just as they are expecting your coming to China. So let's go to another question. Yes. May I have him ask the question first, because he was raising the hand before you, and then I go to you, and we have very limited time. But anyway, go ahead.
我来自北京，但是我在那个华盛顿州和北京生活，还有居住大概有四年半左右的时间。我这个问题呢是想问 Governor Inslee. So a lot of I remember a couple of months ago I once read an article on Seattle Times and talking about the importance of foreign direct investment from China to state of Washington. I think I completely agree with the article, but I seen quite a lot of comments on on the bottom of the pages, and almost the comments are provided by Seattle citizens, and the overall feedback is, oh, Washington is a great state, and Seattle is a place. The question is, most of them are not very welcoming foreign direct investment. So I'm wondering how that general public opinion will affect the governor's decision in terms of attracting foreign direct investment.
So we are actively looking for and recruiting foreign investment from China and other countries for our burgeoning economy. Look, we've got tremendous intellectual capital in the state of Washington. It's hard to be humble a little bit when you've got both the Seattle Seahawks and some of those most brilliant computer scientists in your state. So we've got great intellectual capital, and we could use financial capital to grow these new businesses. So we are open for that investment, and we are eager to have it, and we've had some increasing success. I spoke to a group of Chinese investors who were very interested in our state. We think we're improving that. So if there are voices of fear and sort of not understanding the global network of today's economy, they are not going to slow us down at all. And for any investor listening, look, do not be afraid of coming in here. Gary Locke has been very effective in making sure people understand 99.9% of foreign investment passes through some security screening that we now have under our federal laws. We can do good things here internationally.
10 seconds for you.
So I would just add that, you know, the people of Seattle feel great about China and the Chinese people. This is a city with a large Chinese-American population. And if you read the comments on the blogs, if I read the comments on the blogs, I would never have believed I could be mayor of Seattle. You got to ignore most of those comments.
If I read the comments on the blog, I can't even believe I can sit here and moderate this panel. But anyway, this gentleman for the last question. Last question, very brief, and you address to whom, please.
我是苏小源，来自西雅图本地的中文媒体西雅图中文电台。今天非常有幸的听到这一场精彩的对话。我们计划在下周一全程播放这场对话的实况录音。好，可以做广告结束了，讲你的问题。我的问题是，王副省长和陈副省长，你们是不是知道华盛顿州是大麻合法化？ 还有同性恋婚姻合法化，那么你们觉得在海南省和四川省有没有可能实行大麻合法化和同性恋婚姻合法化？那么另外就是你们在省政府这一级有没有这个权利做这个决定？谢谢。你的电台是一个很有趣的电台。但是啊，我就想实际上问我们两位啊。 就是我们不同的地区、不同的省份、中美不同的地方有不同的文化的选择、政策的选择。那么在一方面我们要合作，在其他方面我们怎么看待这样不同的选择？陈省长更有经验。哎呦，你看看，好好好，陈省长十秒钟给您。
我先说哈，这个因为我们跟那个华盛顿州呢是有城，大家是亲戚，所以亲戚啊有城之间呢，他不会看那些方面。 我们都是看他们好的方面，是吧？所以我们看到这些问题，我也不了解这些问题。
这是不同的选择。
对对，这是一个。第二个呢，你说我们省哈，我们省呢，我觉得从目前来看呢，这些是不允许的，是不合法的。谢谢。
这个实际上每个地方，每个国家、每个国家的国情、每个省也有它的省情，所以呢，
每个个人也有每个人个人对不同事物的看法。
所以说，可能某些人他喜欢这样，但是很多人不，他不喜欢这样。 那么在中国的老百姓现在是不喜欢这样的，啊，多数是不喜欢这样的。嗯，
目前中国的法律是如此选择的。
对
啊，好，我觉得这个文化的选择啊，真的是哈，啊。说到这儿啊，我们因为也要结束今天的讨论，文化的选择实际上是每个国家、每个地区、每个人各自的自由。但是呢，怎么能够包容不同的文化，能够让每个文化当中他们最闪光的那一部分能够为我们这个地区来做出他们应该做的贡献，我觉得这是今天我们讨论的一个最关键的问题。而且我们台上的几位嘉宾他们真正的都发扬了这方面的精神，就是找到别人的闪光点，找到自己的强项，来看我们怎么能够进行强强联手，把事情做得更好，真的让我们的地球越来越安全，越来越健康。
May I make one comment?
Yes, five seconds.
After Ed Murray's mission to China, we're sure things will change in China.
And two seconds for you, Mr. Murray.
So I don't believe we should try and change each other's cultures, but I think we should try and recognize that those differences exist and be open to the possibility of change. I am the first gay man of a major city in America to be elected a mayor of a major city. So there's one husband and one husband in my house.
Many of your constituencies are applauding for you right now, so be proud of that, and also be proud of what the governor have just said. We want to thank all of you, really, for being so frank with us and also bring us a very insightful discussion. We benefit a lot, and I'm sure with the promise, the policies and the promises you made with this panel, we're going to have better lives. So we want to thank all of you for being with us. 谢谢，非常感谢。再次感谢我们四川省的副省长陈文华先生。感谢 ，Thank you very much, Governor Inslee from the state of Washington. Thank you very much, Mayor Murray from the city of Seattle.非常感谢我们海南省的副省长王璐先生。
王璐，就是求同存异，共同应对挑战。
Wonderful， 非常棒。最后也要感谢我们许昌市的高级顾问王树山先生。谢谢各位，我们再给他们热烈掌声啊 ！Thank you so much， 谢谢。
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
欢迎你去了啊，欢迎。
All right, we want to be
yes, I hope so.
We want to remain seated, please.Because there's going to be another important part of this morning session. We are going to invite a very important person onto the stage. 请大家再就坐，先不要站起来，请大家就坐。We're going to have photos later, so gentlemen, please be seated for now. 稍等，请大家先就坐，请我们相关的同事先就坐。We see they are very eager already to exchange cards and probably think about the destinations for the visits for both the mayor and the governor. Shall we, gentlemen, ladies, be seated for the moment? 我们先请各位就坐，因为呢，今天上午还有一段非常重要的我们会议的议程，请大家就坐。好，请大家就坐。谢谢各位，非常感谢。我们今天有这么好的一个讨论 ，Ladies and gentlemen, we have such an open discussion today, with so many players coming both from China.Traveling all the way to the state of Washington, to the city of Seattle. And we also have both the governor of Washington State and the mayor of Seattle come together because we have a great platform. That platform is the Boao Forum. After successfully holding conferences every year in China, this forum is comingto the United States for this time. And its success has been guaranteed by one gentleman who is about to come up to the stage. Every year, he's working so hard every day. Many of us who know him really know this fact. For the success of the specific Borel Forum in China every year in Hainan province, and also for this one here in the city of Seattle. So I want us to give a warmer round of applause for Ambassador Zhou Wenzhong. And it's my great honor to invite Mr. Ambassador to come up to the stage.
Thank you for your wonderful introduction. You know, our conference will soon draw to a close. And I think I can speak for all of you when I say this conference has been a success thanks to the efforts of all the delegates and speakers. I'm glad that our discussion here touched upon almost all the important global issues we face, such as energy, climate change, trade, investment, liberalization, new model of major countries' relationships, etc. And we all agree that it is essential for countries, regardless of their political and economic systems, to turn their common interests on all those issues into concrete and coordinated joint actions for the well-being of mankind. One other thing worth mentioning is our conference has focused on the importance of enhancing innovation spirit in tackling the challenges we face. Some speakers called for creating innovation mechanism across our respective society and the world. Others called for innovation in public policies on environment protection, urban development, and energy efficiency. I'm pleased also because our conference has come up with some meaningful proposals. Many participants said that reducing carbon and lifting living standards are things we all need. To keep them in balance, we need to develop a comprehensive package of measures and to encourage transnational cooperation. In this regard, we have heard proposals and ideas about smart cities and zero carbon buildings, etc. In the session of Rebuilding Trans-Pacific Cooperative Relationship, panelists had a constructive exchange of ideas on establishing an Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank to improve connectivity in our region. I'm sure that discussions we have had will open broad vistas for future cooperation among countries in the region. I could only quote a few of the agreed points. As my time is limited here, I hope you will take what you have learned here back and share them with your community so that they will be one day adopted or accepted by governments here, there, and everywhere. Finally, please allow me to express on behalf of the Borel Forum to thank our local partners, to thank all the delegates and speakers, and to thank the governor, the mayor, and all those who have helped us to make this conference happen and be a success. Now it is my pleasure to invite Governor Inslee to the podium.
This has been a very inspirational meeting for me. And the reason is that when you serve in office and you work on issues for years or decades, and sometimes they are resistant to immediate change, at times one can become a bit daunted. But I have to tell you, seeing this collection of leadership of visionaries who understand the ability of this ring of innovation around the Pacific Ocean to solve our environmental and economic challenges is very heartening to me. I got to meet Prime Minister Rudd of Australia, who did such great work to move his country forward. Prime Minister Fukuda, Stan Baer. We have people around the Pacific who are willing to tackle this challenge of climate change and understand the economic potential of clean energy. And so that is heartening to me. And when I meet my fellow Washingtonians in the next year or two, I will mention the people that I've met here today and their vision for our country. So I want to thank you for coming here. We have seen reasons for optimism in this conference. The meeting on the new findings on climate change told us how pressing this problem is, but the meeting on renewable and clean energies was appropriately titled The Way Forward because that's the direction we're going. The meeting on Future Flash, Green Buildings for an Urban Environment, was appropriately in the city with the greenest, cleanest, most least carbon-emitting office building in the world, which is in Seattle, Washington, in the Bullitt Center. So we had many, many causes for optimism coming out of this conference. So now we will all be going to the best place in the world, which is home. And our homes will be different. The dry slopes of Mongolia, the lush forest of Vietnam and Hainan, the snow-clad peaks of Japan, they're all different, but they share something. They are all home for each of us. And they also share another thing, that if we don't succeed in our mutual fight against climate change, all of those homes will be changed. So I will leave here to stay in my home, which is Washington. You will go home to your homes, and I hope you're going to share a memory of a place that we're going to do better for all the people of the world and those in the Pacific Rim. When I look at Mount Rainier, as you exit this building and you look to the south, you'll see Mount Rainier. It's the highest mountain in the state of Washington. And it has some of the most beautiful glaciers. It's the most glaciated peak in the continental United States. The work you're going to do when you're going to go home is going to make sure that those glaciers don't melt on my favorite mountain in Mount Rainier. And after you go home, I can assure you that I'm going to be working day and night to make sure your glaciers don't melt wherever your home is. Well, good luck. Thank you for coming to us. We'll see you at the next conference. Take care.